Well, I don't know how good the sound quality will be. But we're having a very interesting day today. It's not really overcast. Lightly. Clouds in the sky is sufficient that it's not clear, but it's in the high 50s at 5:30 in the morning. Going like a marathon. It did stay from the north, but now I'm getting it more distant from the southwest. It's the 3rd of December. Usually, we would have had an authentic piece of winter. I think we had one day where the high was in the 40s, the low 40s maybe. At night it always gets below freezing. It is starting to cool off though. Like today it's only supposed to get up into the mid 50s. And tomorrow it's only supposed to get in the mid 50s. So the low today, or at least temperature just today, is likely to be the high on Tuesday or Wednesday. Anyway, so it's morning. I turned on the iPad this morning. I just happened to go over to Skype, and there was some Williamson action. They were actually online. And at their time, which was just right around about 12:30 in the morning. Afternoon. I guess that's afternoon, isn't it? It was 36, 37 degrees with light snow falling. The program that I use was the Weather Underground. I like the Weather Underground. Anyway, from the Weather Underground, it was, they have webcams. And from the picture in the webcam, the place is still green and verdant and beautiful. And take it to the middle of the day because we don't get a lot of sun at this point. You know, it's almost seems to be the first day of the year. We've only got a couple of weeks left. It's the winter solstice. And, so yeah, you gotta catch it around noon, because that's when the sun's gonna set up. So I was kind of wondering if I was gonna catch a webcam with some snow on it. But I'm set. Look around anymore to see if there's any other ones that have snow pictures. But, you know, that's kind of the way it goes. And then the gas gets turned on this week sometime. And we'll So in case you hadn't noticed, we're thinking about Shetland again. Tabernacle Choir Christmas specials. It's the one that was the opera one, and it had Bryn Terfel from Wales. It's an opera from the beginning. Still isn't where he came from, and how many times he could fill. Still the conference center with people from Turfle. So it must be a big village. He says he could do it 10 times, and you go, that's a pretty big village. That's about 2,000 people, you know. Well, the villages I'm used to hearing about are like in the hundreds at best. Let's see. And Lisa was saying, so being from such a small place in Wales, which is not the center of the universe at all, how did you get into opera? And I attribute it to, now this makes something that I think is a manifestation of the Spirit, or the light of Christ, for lack of a better term. So I call the psychic proximity principle. It says that you and your spirit words come in. You and your coordination, you and circumstances that fit you, then start coming together. I only call it psychic because it seems like it's otherworldly. It's almost supernatural how this happens. You know, you kind of bump into this person casually, and they kind of steer you in a direction, and then you know, similar circumstance comes up. You get a job or you lose a job, and it causes you to do something else, and and all of a sudden you find yourself in an interesting place doing interesting things. When I see people who tend to stay exactly where they are, you know, tend to do exactly what they've done when they were young, I tend to think that those are the kind of people that really don't listen. Or really don't feel, you know, and there's a certain amount of choice there about whether you're going to, what you're going to do. And there's plenty of people that just say, hey, you know, I've got a job, I've got a house, I can put beer in the refrigerator in the proportion I like. What else is there? And then there are people who I feel like are people of accomplishment. And when you ask them the story, what you get confronted with is the psychic proximity. That some unseen force, if I call God, slowly leads to the place where you need to be, the thing you need to be doing, or the things you need to be doing. You know, and that these things, you know, it isn't just one thing, or one place, one destiny, for lack of a better word. You know, it could be several things. You know, life lasts 80, 90, 100 years. We don't get killed or have something terrible happen to us beforehand. There's a lot of things you can do in that time. A lot of different circumstances you can find yourself in. Happens to a certain extent to everybody. Those who, I suppose, have a gift of the Holy Ghost probably get wrought a little more than others. But God's always trying to steer us, always trying to lead us. The question is, do we follow? And I find that I'm... I think some people could accuse me of being a really crappy follower, and I'm not going to dispute that, except to say that I think I'm just impatient, you know. I've been here with Duke and Terry for 16 years, but longer is my tendency. I feel like the time has come to move on. I have not had circumstances that have persuaded me that it's not time to move on. It's just a question of when. I mean, the only real answer I've got from God about the things that I'm working toward is patience. Patience, you know, what I was hoping would only take a few months may end up taking a few years. God, I hope not. One of the reasons for going to Shetland, she got enamored of Anderson High School there. And, boys to go there. So I think we should be, you know, I think that's the time frame, which is sooner rather than later. I really did, I can tell you the experience I had when I was thinking about Josh, and the thought came to me, and of course it came in a kind of a the spirit hit so hard that I cried over it. And even when I think of it now, I start to kind of give husky voice. That's where Josh is going to find, you know, a girl he's going to marry. We're in a difficult circumstance now. They ratcheted down the age when you go on a mission. You know, Josh is 15 years and a few months. And I'm quite interested in the moment there. this year was really kind of his second to last year before they start making, you know, they start tracking you and saying, well, you know, are you college bound yet? So if you're not college bound, let's get you into some kind of trade or, you know, something like that. Give you some experience. But I need to work diligently on the ascendant family. I think that might be a good word, a good title for the ascendant family. And to get that project but so that whatever class can remain, do it strictly by next fall, hopefully before next fall, we'll be in Lerwick making this stuff happen. Now, you know, that's all contingent on if God's willing to contribute to the effort at all, you know. If this year taught me anything at all, if the timing's bad, you know, we're gonna have to be patient. So, you know, I don't know what patience is. You know, that's vague. But you know, there's some kind of virtue to, I guess, God being vague. It makes you stress a little bit more, working harder, you know. And it is a show of faith to continue working on this stuff when you're not exactly clear. Or you're not clear at all. Anyway, back to proximity principle. In my life, a lot, it manifests itself as not being able to put something aside. Like job hunting. Job hunting kind of comes in weird spurts. And I think it's mostly just spare time mixed with boredom. And the desire to do something. The desire to create things up. I'm probably the laziest driven person I think I've ever heard of. Of course, I don't get out much, so I wouldn't know, but I ponder a lot. In fact, in a world of people who don't ponder at all, I think I ponder more than is probably healthy. And, you know, I've always felt kind of otherworldly in that way. So, anyway. So, with the whole Shetland thing, I was prepared on some level, and I don't think it was a very high level at all, I was prepared to let Shetland drop, to just say, you know what, tried, made the effort, didn't work, let it go, move on to something else. I think my mom, and I think a lot of my friends, I think my dad, I think a lot of people saw it as something kind of silly, or, you know, they were all very nice, and you know, if nothing else, I'm really appreciative of them being at least kind to me while I'm doing something weird. And, but it's hard to put aside spiritual experiences associated with it. Some of the comments from others, my brother Joe, for instance, from Robert Williams, who was I just talking about, I just caught him back on Skype again, online. I didn't get to talk to him. I'm guessing it was his wife. Who also felt kind of spiritual leanings on this subject to say, you know, there's nothing to do here. And so I hope I don't offend the spirit when I say psychic proximity principle. This is you and what you're supposed to be, you and what you're supposed to do are attracted together, kind of like magnets. And it isn't a strong pull. You know, that's kind of the way God works. God is not, you know, people say, oh, thunder, lightning, you know, fire, stuff like that. Sometimes God manifests like that, very rarely though. You know, Scripture talks about the still small voice. And, Godhead, they are three different people. And, you hear about the still small voice, and sometimes they're saying that in reference to God, sometimes the Holy Spirit. You know, we tend to treat the Holy Spirit, which is mostly the mouth of God, I suppose, if you were to try to anthropomorphize these things a little bit more. Try to wad all up into one person collectively. But yeah, there's this gentle pull. It can be ignored. The more you ignore it, the more you don't follow it, the less of an influence it has on you until you just can't feel it at all. So, this thing isn't a strong magnetic pull that just is irresistible. It can be resisted. And therein lies your agency. Do you want to follow or not? But yet that magnetism is still there. And if you let yourself be guided by it, or better yet, if you use it as a guide, classic example of the Book of Mormon is the Liahona. That the Liahona operated on faith as you followed its directions, it would continue to lead you back to the person. Okay, kind of thing. So that's kind of what I'm in the middle of doing here. I trust on many levels the fact that I keep coming back to check. I even put it aside. I had gotten rid of most of the links I had made to Shetland things. Stopped looking at the newspaper site. Stopped doing a lot of things that I was doing in preparation for moving there. But slowly, I've kind of started to casually pick those things back up again. To the point to where it's just not quite letting me go. And kind of like bulletin board systems, although I used to call that a really sick, twisted, quasi-autistic obsession. But I'm finding that, you know, I usually install a DBS on my computer. The one I have on right now is Citadel UX for Unix. The Unix version of Citadel. It really is only Citadel left. It's become kind of a groupware, collaborative software, very web-based. Kind of a grown-up DBS where there's another one that I used to look at more called Synchronet. I liked it because it made as much use of web standards, even of the past, than anything else did. I think it's starting to just kind of fade away from being like that and wanting to just as much as it can be a bulletin board system from the past. You know, they're starting to add a lot more games to it. So you can have more of the BBS experience, which is kind of more shared text gaming than anything else. And I'm not a gamer, so I go more for the collaborative stuff, although I'm not much of a collaborator. And I can see in the future that this will be more how do you say it? It'll be more useful. There will be a use for it later. The ability to do this. And to do the technology behind it to keep it going. I have this sick feeling that on some level the internet is going to change I've seen the progression of it. I first got involved with the internet in 1991. This was before the World Wide Web, so I've actually got a little more history than that. When I worked at Broad Horizon Education Center, the local university, Eastern Mississippi University, where I was going to school, the high school that I was, it's more tutoring, you know, I was tutoring at, was, got itself a shell connection to that university, and we played around. The thing that was, of course, most popular was IRC, because that was just cool. That was the first time you could really do chatting over wide areas, and that was really the initial pull. And that's where I first found Gopher. I still really know Gopher, and it was just so wild and woolly back then. Of course, you had to understand it was, you know, it was not a public thing. There was really no public access to it. That didn't come for a few more years. It was really, I think at that time it was NSFNet. It went from being DARPANET, or ARPANET actually, you know, which was military, to NSFNet, which was really trying to connect up as many universities as you could, trying to connect science departments, stuff like that. And that's where I kind of jumped on there. I read about ARPANET back in the 80s when I was first in college, in the late 80s, like 1980. I remember reading about ARPANET on in Byte magazine when I was at Rick College, which was 1986. And that was, I, in as much as I could be, which I couldn't be very well at all, I was kind of a BBS sort of a guy in the late 80s, you know. I'll start my own bulletin board system, the old kind of where you use a modem and you know, and did that. And, anyway, I remember how wild and woolly it was at that time, you know. It wasn't very well regulated at all. It's just the beginning, and just, you know, and there was technology for all this stuff, but you didn't, you know, it wasn't, how do you say? It hadn't gone mainstream at all. And then it really exploded. It became public, and then all kinds of crazy things were going on, you know. And that was the 90s. That was like the mid to late 90s. And there was the dot-com boom, which was the late 90s until about 2000. And then a lot of things fell apart. And what we have now, which is much more vertical than the old internet was, you know, honestly, it used to be all the rage to have your own domain name, to run your own website. That's not important anymore. Now people have their Facebook pages or whatever's new enough and coming, you know, but it's vertical now, you know. More and more, you know, it used to be back in the 90s when you got on the internet, you'd go and visit many sites. You'd go all over the place. At least I would. And as time has passed, that really kind of has gone away in favor of, you know, first it was MySpace, everybody was on MySpace, and then everybody was on Facebook. I don't know what the next thing is going to be. Who knows what this thing is going to morph into, but it's getting more vertical, you know. You choose what internet experience you're going to have. You know, it's almost like buying a vendor. And I, of course, am interested in all this, and in a way, if it, you know, and now they're threatening to police the internet more, try to find, you know, what with the Arab Spring, which I think was last year, so many regimes fell in Northern Africa. A lot of powerful people, insofar as they can exert any pressure, usually through governmental means, on something like the internet, would like to see it a little more controlled, would like to steer people into specific places, you know. The internet only becomes a vehicle for accessing, you know, five or six things is what they would probably love to see, and that they could heavily regulate those five or six things. The world of the independence was always a little on the small side. It didn't seem small to the older the only game in town. I don't think the kind of internet that I use and the one that I like going to and the one that I like getting involved with probably hasn't gotten any bigger than it was originally. You know. Although there's a billion people on the internet now, you know, my internet experience, the one that I do, you know, is much smaller than that. And probably hasn't changed the size significantly since my crowd. Everybody who wants access to the internet can basically get it. And so we reached something of a pinnacle there. Anyway, so I could never really get away from the BBS thing, and I think that that's true because at some level, there's going to be a different experience for different people. I don't know if they can tie down the internet. They certainly can by controlling the DNS servers and saying who can control it and who cannot. Who can get a web domain, who cannot. Who's allowed to have an IP address and who is not. The way it goes now, the whole structure of it is just a little too wild and woolly for a lot of people who are in power and who want to manage things a little harder. I try to walk away from that, it becomes difficult. You know. I will always be trying to more independent. Accept more independence. pass up opportunities like that, even if you're frightened, even if it scares you. It says, don't do it. Just so you don't come up. That's what's so interesting about God seeing an opportunity to give more independence. And it should be pursued. And as much as it can, not some committee, some large thing somewhere else far away, what's in their best interest? Oh, the wind just blows horrible here. And boy, I've seen pictures of people that are barely able to walk against the wind. We get that here occasionally. I don't know if we get that more there than we get here. But I've been doing a little research on it. I've decided that it is a... the light magnetism on. It's there if you are feeling for it, if you're looking for it, you can sound. If, you know, but you can resist it. It isn't even terribly hard to resist it, to say, I'm not going to do that. Another guy that would tell you, don't resist that. You know. But don't put yourself in circumstances where you give over sovereignty of your choices, of your circumstances, to somebody else. Right, it is a thing that's voluntary. You have to do what that group tells you to. It says that's unnatural. That's unnatural. That's wrong. And it will never lead to good things. You know, it looks good on paper. It seems intriguing to people who say, you know, life is difficult. I really want to make life so it's not so difficult. You know, it's very enticing to people who think that way. But it's kind of a Faustian deal, and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to go there. You don't want to be beholden to it. You don't want to be locked in. So as much as you can make that happen, so when it comes to like Scotland, what is my basic advice to a place like Scotland who is either working for greater devolution and perhaps even independence? My advice is get as much as you can. As the opportunity is here, as you don't have to fight some horrible war for it, which is a wonderful circumstance, take it. Take it. Don't let it pass you by out of fear. Don't let it pass you by out of any of these things. Are bad things going to happen? Sure. Is there going to be corruption? Yes. Is it not pleasant that it's going to have the Scottish, you know, seal on it? Well, it's always been kind of cool to say, hey, you know, this is... Scots are good people, you know, all of our problems come from Westminster. And you go, yes, it starts being less palatable when undesirable things start coming out of Holyrood instead, or out of Edinburgh, or Glasgow, or wherever something happens to be. But you know what? It said, these things need to continue. Each individual council, for instance, the Shetland Island Council, needs to constantly be striving for more and more autonomy, more and more independence, more and more power to be able to make its own decisions. I've talked about this, but I found somebody else who talked about it too. And I don't think it's because they listened to me and got the idea from me. I think it's a good universal concept that other people are starting to see, which is, you know, the whole thing of some people used to not even know who the President of the United States was, because that was how much influence they had over their lives. Lots of little rabbits hopping around. I think they're excited with how warm it is, and they're just not really sure what to do with it. That's something that we need to get back to. Or we, the whole concept of going back, we need to move forward knowing, having made experiments and saying, well, this is better than this, and this is better than this. We need to apply, though, the learning of those experiments. to give as much sovereignty as push it down as far as you can. Now, the furthest you should push is the family level. The family should be the most powerful, the most influential entity in your world should be your family, your parents, your children, your brothers, your sisters, aunts, uncles. That family group should be the most, you know, the most important entity in your life. And it's important that it does that. Once we go down one more step to the individual, we start bringing up all kinds of bad things. Selfishness. Not caring. You have to understand, the most important thing you have to know about individuals is they can't take care of themselves. It's just not there. It isn't a question of money, it isn't a question of anything else. You know, individuals can't be self-sufficient. And that's okay, it's not a bad thing. That's what family comes in for. That's why we encourage our young people to get married, to form their own family. Family can be more independent, can be as independent as anything can be. I think that's probably the best way to say. And that's where the locus of control, that's where the locus of power needs to be. I was starting to write a thing about that, but it began to be just an explanation of the current circumstance, which is between the state and the individual. The individual will always lose, the state will always win. Because it's true. Even the most powerful individual, rich though they may be able to become, have to at least make some kind of deal with the state if those are the only two shows in town. But it's not the only show in town. You know, the more, you know, like I was saying, the family is where the bulk of power, the bulk of control, the bulk of everything should be centered in the family. It keeps, you know, it provides for the needs of individuals far better than any other construct does. What a family can't provide, a group of families as part of a neighborhood or as part of a community, a village, whatever, can band together and can pretty much provide everything else, except for really huge, obnoxiously large things. But I'm finding that as I look at these things and say, well, we need a national government to do this, and we need a national government to do that, I find that it's not true. You know, getting into the whole state versus individual sort of thing. You know, the whole notion, and it's true, that individuals left on their own with too much time or too much money on their hands become very selfish, and there needs to be there needs to be a moderating force to their selfishness. Single parents fall into this trap terribly. A lot of people choose to be a single parent over being part of a couple, or a married couple. Man, a woman, I want to make that clear. Because they don't have to compromise, they don't have to bounce their ideas off of somebody else and come to a meeting of the minds. Is it important to grow new? I used to think that I was a dangerous driver, but as I walk down here down Washington, It's okay. Most people can't drive a straight line. And that's not to denigrate anybody. That just makes me feel better, and I'm not as crazy as sometimes you would like to think. Let's see. What else? Anyway, so almost got hit by a guy that was driving straight toward me. I'm walking in the gutter of a road, you know. Nobody should be looking to run me over. I thought he was coming over because he was somebody I knew, and he was going to stop and talk to me, but no, it was just this guy, and either he was fixated on me and he started driving toward me, or he just wasn't paying attention. And that's, you know, and that's not a big deal. You know, every day people do things like that. We all survive somehow. And I think that's part of the wonder of it all. If we didn't have help from heaven on a pretty regular basis, all the time, you know, we probably wouldn't live very long at all. Angels jerking the wheel of a car so that we don't run into something, you know. I really do think that these kind of things exist, and that they really do kind of keep us okay. I'm surprised. When I'm driving, sometimes I'm so intent on what I'm talking about or what I'm listening to or whatever, but I'm not even paying attention to the road. And it must be angels that say, "Jake, wake up!" So, there is that. Anyway, oh, I'm on the home stretch. Need to slow down a little bit. Oh, I don't do this quite enough, and I have problems later on. So there you go. Second proximity principle leads to things you should be doing, leads to dependence in all things, leads to having a look at the past on the family. And it becomes important how you govern your family, and that becomes the biggest thing and an important thing. Everybody can govern their own family because everybody can form their own family. But it needs to have, well, everybody has the capability and has a chance. And that doesn't denigrate them at all. You know, who's a good example? Sherry Dew. Sherry Dew is an amazing woman. She's never gotten married. Everybody says, well, why not? Well, what about her just makes that not happen? You know, it just hasn't happened for her yet. She wants to get married. At this point, I think she's in her 50s now. At this point, it wouldn't be so that she can have children and things like that. Maybe. I don't know. It really kind of depends on how she feels. She would be ill-advised to do so by the medical community, but how many times do we, thankfully, do things that are absolutely ill-advised? I think it's one of the important things to do. Make sure you do things today that are ill-advised. Because you don't want to be beholden to everything else. There's an independent thing. Community is important. So, this is day number. I'm done. Is Brenna already up? I think she is. And